Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Psalm 37. Familiar passage, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, beginning of the chapter. A few weeks ago, I began with a message on how to have God guide your thoughts. And it spoke to a question that many of us have pondered in our Christian lives. And that's important. We've got to have Him guide our thoughts. How do I know I'm thinking straight? How am I thinking right? Of course, that goes along with the Word of God. We have to let Him have, we commit it, we roll it over onto Him, and let Him guide our thoughts. Now, the fact is, we spend some time, we lay awake all night trying to figure it all out. We have to remember God knows that we don't know. And I think sometimes we get our minds so full of us that God can't get His thoughts in there edgewise. We're thinking this, and we think, oh, and you know what? It's almost like He gives you the answer, oh, that won't work. There must be something else than that. It's got to be easier. It's got to be more to it than that. It can't be that easy. It can't be this. It can't be that. And it's amazing how we kind of push God out of our life. And we spoke to that for 2 weeks. Now, I want to give you one more step. God guides our thoughts. But once our thoughts are established and we know what to do, how do you get it done? Let's read here. Psalm 37, familiar passage. Just the first few verses here, first 9 verses. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Let me stop right there. This really isn't, I'm not going to really speak on these two verses, but you have to understand that kind of what gets us going in, gets us moving into the thought here. Christians, and like I talked about this morning, you know, just because we're Christian doesn't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory. Doesn't mean we're going to live in a rose garden. I never promised you a rose garden. You know that old song? Listen, He didn't promise us a rose garden. And not everything's going to be perfect and right all the time. And in fact, He takes us through tough times, glory in the tribulations also. The tribulations will work patience, and patience brings experience, and experience hope. And hope makes it so that we're not ashamed. Now, Christians look at people and say, well, they're getting away with this. Christians in general look at the world and say, well, they're winning. No, they're not. I read the end of the book and we know who wins. And it ain't them. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to go through some problems. It doesn't mean that God's not going to try our faith. He is. The problem is, He tries our faith and we go cower in the corner someplace instead of just being steadfast, what He called us to do, and keep moving. Now, what I'm going to teach you, it's not all brand new, but I do want to put it in this context. I've spoken on this topic before, but we forget. We surely do forget. So we look at the world and we say, well, they're all having a great time, and I'm the only one who's got any problems. The poor Christians, you know, only the good die young. That's not true. Look at verse 3. He says, now, first two verses saying, the world just seems like they're getting away with this. They're having a good time. And this is what he says. Trust in the Lord. Don't get your eyes on all this stuff. Don't get all worked up. Don't go off and go in the corner and suck your thumb. Don't get scared. Don't start doing what they're doing because you think they're getting away with it. Now watch. Trust in the, look at the word. Does your Bible have all capitals? That's Jehovah. That's the Almighty One. That's the life Himself, the self-existent One, the God of all creation. You see that. Realize that word has so much in it. All trust in the Lord. Not just any Lord. The Lord. Now watch. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Okay. If I want to dwell in the land and be guaranteed that I'm going to be fed, what two things do I need to do? And? Now, we could go home right now. But you're going to sit through a 45-minute sermon. Anyway, trust in the Lord and do good. If you get nothing else, that's our main point. Trust Him. Just trust Him. While you're trusting, just keep doing right. See, we think, well, it's got to be more than that. It has to be more complicated than that. Who said? Now watch me. He says, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to explain a little bit. It says, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Also, that means in addition to trusting and doing good. Trust the Lord and do good, and He'll take care of you. You'll stay where you're supposed to be. You'll be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Take it one other step. Take those desires. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, as if, in other words, continue to just trust in Him. Now, you say, well, I trusted. Now, we trust ones that receive salvation. That's true. But the fact is, as children of God, sometimes we know we're going to heaven, but we're not willing to trust Him with the day-to-day things. Okay? So trusting the Lord means you keep doing what He tells us to do. Trusting the Lord doesn't mean, well, He says, suppose I trust you, Lord, but I think something over here might be a little better. Then you don't trust Him. We get off track, off wandering, over in the briars, get ourselves all cut up because we didn't just continue. So he says, commit, verse 5, commit thy way in the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Who's going to make it happen? That's right, Lord is. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord. Verse 6. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Now, He just told us what to do. Now, He's giving you kind of the reason. He's kind of going around full circle to what we were. Where He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. This is what you do. Now, just do that, and what can you do? Rest in the Lord, verse 7, and wait patiently. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Not somebody else. Not for some sign. Not for the guy down the street. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't you let yourself get off the track and start doing what everybody else is, and you think they're getting away with it. You think they're getting ahead, but they're not. Don't get mad about it. In fact, you ought to feel sorry for them. If you've been here on Wednesday night, it says, listen, He says, woe unto you that are rich, because you've got your reward. Woe unto you to men speak well of you, when all men speak well of you, because they did the same thing with the false prophets. He says, listen, they think they're getting away with this. They think they're in good shape. He says, no, they're not. In fact, it's lulling them into a false sense of peace and hope. And listen, and we're going to be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy. Look at verse 9. The evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Talk on this topic, how to have God guide your way. How to have God guide your way. Now, don't make this complicated. Let the Word say what it really says. Rest in it. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the hope that we have in You. I pray that You bless these few moments that we have. Use it. Lord, every single one of us has probably at some time or other kind of gotten ahead of You. We've gotten scared. We've trusted our own schemes, our own thoughts, the thoughts of the world, and we've gotten off into the briars, and we've gotten cut up, and you've come along, you picked us up and patched us up and placed us back on the way. And yet, Lord, so many times we get our eyes off and we worry, we get angry because the world seems to be winning. And it's like we've forgotten who it is that's in charge. Lord, forgive us. So, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Give us that peace that you have promised to give that passes all understanding. And pray that you'll use this time to settle some things in our hearts tonight. We need you. And I ask in Christ's name. Amen. We say we want to know God's will for our lives. We say that if we just knew exactly what God wanted, that we would do it. But when God's will and God's desires no longer match our own, we wander off and we wonder why the leading of God has gone. Some folks resort to demanding of God. And of course, I've mentioned this. Demanding of God is not a good way to please God. And if we're claiming God's promise on something in particular, we need to pray and watch and wait and allow God to keep his promise. If he has promised, well, then we should wait until the promise comes. To get ahead of him is really to doubt his promise. When Abraham was promised that he would be the father of a great nation, they got impatient. And so his wife Sarah said, you know, Hagar, she's mine, and so anything born of her is ours too, so let's just help God out. Now that was silly for her to do, and it was actually wrong for Abraham to take her up on it. And they've been messing with that same problem ever since. It was in the newspaper yesterday. All those Arabs and all that mess and all that all came from Ishmael. Abraham then later, you know, he even said, well, you know, I've got a servant, Eliezer, he's a good guy. Why don't we just make him my son? God says, no, that's not the promise. Well, I'm 90 years old, God. I'll keep my promise. I believe some folks want, what all some folks want is for God to offer a few options, and they get to choose, and they'll get what they want. But I found that sometimes we want to know God's will and we want it now. But if God doesn't reveal himself in our time, in our time schedule, we decide a will, we put God's name on it. And some folks don't mind if they're not in God's will as long as they're in something they want. I'm kind of getting you back here. If you don't know for sure that something's God's will, then wait. Some folks will not wait because they think that apparently God cannot make it plain. We've talked about all this. Now, I gave you some basic principles last time, and let me give you some things here to remember. God is the source of all truth. Remember that? God is the source of all truth. Psalm 119, 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. God knows everything about the job you're in. He knows everything about raising your family. He knows everything about how to be married. He knows everything about what your need is. Whatever your need is, God knows, and all his precepts are all right here. He knows what we're supposed to do. Number two, men tend to lie to themselves. Man tends to lie to himself. All the ways of man are clean his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. So now, again, if God is a source of all truth and men lie to themselves, then we need to turn things over to God to get his thoughts and not ours. That's basically what we ended up with last time. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Roll it over. Put it in his front end loader. Let him carry the load. Commit thy works, the things that you're doing unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Your thoughts shall be erected. It shall be set up, confirmed, directed, fashioned, fitted, fixed, ordained, ordered, perfected. He said, "Oh, you'll know." So, well, how do you know when God is telling you this is? I've had people say, "Well, you've said so many times, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God wanted you to come up here and be the pastor." I know that, and I do know. But I tell you what, it came through a couple years of surrender. A couple years. When I say a couple, in many ways, it was building for 25 years. But as a matter of saying, I want what God wants. You young folks, you got lives in front of you. You got to get to the point where you say, I want what God wants. Well, how do you know what you want what He wants? Because you don't know what He wants. It doesn't matter if I know what He wants. Because what He wants is best. So I want what God wants. I think you did a thing one time with the king's daughters, and I've heard folks who do this before. It's like a contract with God. It says the Lord's will, and then you sign your name underneath of it. Well, how you know what the Lord's will is? Doesn't matter. It's the Lord's will. I want the Lord's will. Listen, He knows all things. This is the Lord. Now, I went through times and I'm begging, Lord, just show me what you want me to do. I'll do anything. You just put a sign on the billboard. Sterling Walsh is supposed to go be a missionary in Africa. I'll do it. Really. Be honest with you. I didn't play games. I had to take a deep breath. I didn't want to go to Africa. But I wanted to be in the middle of God's will. Being in the middle of God's will was more important than convenience or comfort. I wanted to be in the middle. It's a sweet place to be. And when you're in the middle of God's will, everything may go crazy all around you. You may fall and you may this and that and the other thing, but it's okay. God knew that thing was going to happen before He told you that was His will. So He's already there. But see, if I'm in the middle of God's will, then He knew I was there. He's right there when I fall. But if I go wandering off, now I know He's there. He may reach over and get me out of the mud if I surrender back to Him, but I may one day wake up and realize I feel like I'm out here all by myself. Well, it wasn't God who wandered off. It was me. So if He's the source of all truth and we tend to lie to ourselves, well, then I think we better listen to what He has to say. And if He isn't talking yet, well, then wait till He talks. Wait till He leads. Maybe He's putting all kinds of things together. And I'm not going to get into it because I've got other stuff I want to do. But there was one confirmation after another confirmation after another confirmation till God put a sense in my heart. Before the vote ever happened, we went home in the same van you're driving around in right now. We were home in that van. And I thought to myself, I'm their pastor. They just don't know it yet. That wasn't smug. I certainly didn't deserve it, but I knew. Now, fact is, they weren't planning on paying us. There was only a few people. I never pastored a church by myself before. I don't know if I could do it. And there's not a whole lot of cushion when you're only running with 25 people. You start losing people, you're going to be in big trouble. And I don't have enough to. I can't afford to pay for my family. I got to do something. But the fact was, there was a piece that passed understanding that said, "This is what you need to do." But that doesn't just zap on you as soon as you pray. There's a waiting time. Jehovah put everything together in place. He knows where everything is and knows how everything works. You got to settle that. Give me a couple other statements just until we get in this new thing here. If God is not establishing your thoughts, then you may have not actually committed your work unto the Lord. Or you just need to wait. Are you demanding a type of answer? Then you're not committed to Him. Are you waiting for a certain direction for the answer to come from, or come from a certain direction? You're dictating how He's going to do it. No. Are you running ahead of God because the answer hasn't come yet and hasn't been revealed? we get right with God, accept God's truth as truth, beg for God's mercy in all areas where you've not accepted God's word on a matter of truth, and be satisfied to wait. Now let me give you a couple new things here. Once God establishes your thoughts, how do we make the way that the thoughts established come to pass? Again, I hate to, and by the way, that's a trick question. We don't. Most of you have heard my story about my panic attack first day on the job here. I got up here, and it was one of the worst days of my entire life. I had been voted in as pastor. I was down at Open Door. They had a big send-off service. We were there till 10:30 or something, shaking hands and boo-hooing and crying and hugging everybody's neck. And I remember locking the door to my office the last time, and I had already turned my keys in. Door goes thump, and I can't get back in. That was very final. And was scary. I just lost my paycheck. My paycheck just stopped right there. And I've got a wife and four kids. And I'm the pastor of a church that runs 22. And they don't bring enough in to pay the mortgage. Now, it's not me. Please. Now, patting myself on the back, because I didn't do it. I'm just dumb enough to trust God. Now, I came up here the first day. We had a little stack of visitors' cards, and I went out to visiting. I stopped. This lady was in her yard there, and I was looking for a street. Streets are weird around here, by the way. You know, they just kind of go here, and then they change it, and it starts here, it stops, and starts on another side of town, and all kinds of crazy stuff. I was looking for the street, and I was standing on the sidewalk, and this lady had come out to walk her dog. Everybody has a dog around here, too. And she came to walk the dog, and I said, "Ma'am," she says, "don't talk to me." I said, "Just want to, no, don't come." She has her dog. She's chasing me off the yard with her dog. I'd never had that happen anywhere. Never. I'm a nice guy. I looked respectable. I went down to a little local restaurant, you know, one of the local watering holes, and walked in, introduced myself as the new pastor in town. That was the response. I mean, they didn't say a word. They didn't say hello. They did nothing. They just looked at me like I had three heads. I couldn't find anybody home. Nobody wanted to talk to me. And I'm thinking, what have I done? And I thought, you know, it was a big day yesterday. I'm just tired, and I'll be all right. I just got to go home and get, in other words, I got to get my physical well-being better, and then I'll be okay. So I hopped in my Jeep and I headed home. The further I went, the worse it got. I got into the house and we went back that. We were still living in Maryland, so it was about an hour drive. Went down there, got in the house, and Janet was downstairs fixing dinner with the kids and so forth. And she, "How are you doing?" She's all excited. I'm going, "Oh my soul, I just led my family down a bit." And I went upstairs. I just needed to take a nap. So I laid down and take a nap. Well, it just long as it got to worse, it got. I was almost beside myself. And we had a little, outside our bedroom, there's like a little balcony, went down into the family room, and the kitchen was kind of down underneath there. And I said, "Hey, Janet, would you come up here?" Yeah, you know, she has. She said, "Oh, sure, you would come on up." She walked in, she gave a big kiss, and I said, "I think I goofed up." "Did what?" "I think I made a mistake." "What? I can't do this." "What?" What were you saying? I said, I don't think I can be the pastor of that church. Wait a minute. I said, I don't think I can do this. I've never pastored church. Those people up there are different. What am I going to do? And my beautiful wife, look, she grabbed me by the shoulders, looked me square in the eye, and she said, now we've been through this because you asked God to let you walk on water, and now you're looking at the waves. You know what? The panic attack was gone that fast because, you see, my eyes was on me, and me can't do it. But when my eyes are on him, he can do it. That's what happened to Peter. His eyes got off of him and how he can't handle the water. But when his eyes got back on the Lord, he says, Lord, save me. Boom, everything was all right. Once God establishes your thoughts, what do you do? Look at verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. I'm going to give you some definitions. Trust. Place your confidence in. It means, watch, it means to become careless. Now, watch me. That old term, it means this, the absence of care, the absence of anxiety, because you've settled your hope. Your hope is settled. Trust in the Lord. Make Jehovah, the God of all creation, your refuge and only, listen, only hope. He may use some human being. He may use some person who has flesh to make things happen, but your hope is in the Lord. But what if that person he put in charge messes up? Well, he knew he was going to mess up. He's got somebody else on the who's over here on deck. He's got somebody ready to step right up. That's not a problem. In fact, maybe that little glitch was another step just to see, wait a minute, am I going to trust him or not? Well, Christy, watch. God sends somebody, and you know what happens? We'll transfer our trust from God to this person now. This is the person that's going to help me through. No! It's God. Listen, there are people who depend on people to keep them picked up, to care for their needs, to keep them inspired, to keep them focused. Listen, it's the Lord. Your focus is on him, the author and finisher of your faith, not some person. He may send some person, but you're going to be in big trouble if you make some person your main focus. That's where we get in trouble. We have people who say, well, I don't go to church. You know, I got my TV pastor. He's not your pastor. You may learn some things. You may learn some things you shouldn't have learned. But he's not your pastor, and he's not the all-knowing Jehovah is. Well, God's using him. Maybe he is right now. He says, place your trust. Let the Lord be your hope. And then it says, and do good. Make sure you continue to do that which is good and not that which is wrong or evil. And says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God is going to take care of you as you trust in him and continue to do right. Let me say that again. Don't miss it. God is going to take care of you as you place your trust in him and him alone and continue to do right. Well, doing right has nothing to do with my problem. Yes, it does, because if you continue to do right, he'll take care of the issue. If you don't continue to do right, you're on your own. Well, see, well, this is not dealing with it. Yes, it is. Because he is the answer, and it's our faith in him that makes a difference. If we're not continuing to do what he told us, we've lost our faith in him. And so we're on our own. We need to remember what commit means? To roll. Roll the need over unto the Lord. Take your eyes off the need. Put your eyes on the Lord and continue doing what you were supposed to be doing all along. Well, what's that? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Oh my soul, we're going back to Sunday morning 3 months ago. It hasn't changed. Do good. Keep your nose in the book, figure out what you're supposed to do, and do it. Listen, you take care of God's work, God will take care of you. He'll establish your thoughts and he'll bring your way to pass. Look at the second thing. Delight in the Lord. He says we're supposed to first, what? Trust in the Lord. Number two, delight in the Lord. Now watch. Don't just put up with God. Don't just put up with His ways. Don't just put up with His demands. Give yourself over to the commands of God. Delight in His law. You know I'm going to do it. Blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his is in the law of the Lord. Delight in his laws. God promises to take care of our needs. We need to give him a place to live. He says, delight also in the Lord. Along with trusting, along with doing good, delight in the Lord. That word delight is an interesting little word there. It means to be soft and pliable. Let him lead. Let him lead. Let him be the boss. Let him be the head of the house. Now, guys, we have a hard time there because we're the head of the house. I'm the one that leads. I don't want to be a wimp, a softy. We have to let him be the man of the house. Man is head of the wife, but Christ is head of the man. Delight thyself also in the Lord. We need to be willing to give in, do what he wants to do. And he shall give thee the desires, the requests of thine heart. God will choose just the right thing that you probably wouldn't even have thought of. He always thinks of just the right thing to do. If you trust in the Lord and delight in the Lord, your heart, watch me, will be in tune with the Lord, so you will desire what the Lord desires. Every Sunday morning, almost without fail, church is over, we get in the car. I look at Janet and say, where do you want to eat? Well, I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Let's not start that again. Another old movie. Listen, I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? What did the Lord want to do? God says, I got just the place. I got just the thing. And you know it's going to be the best thing you've had. The best thing you could have had. Now listen to me. Delight thyself in the Lord. You want him to give you the thoughts, but he also wants to guide the way. How are we going to make this thing work? John 14:10 says this. Jesus speaking, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. By the way, he dwells in you now too. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, you can know that the Lord is leading because look at what I'm doing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, something that he would sign his name to, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you keep my commandments. That's the next verse. You love me? Then you want what I want. If you want what I want, then your will has been lost in my will, he's saying. And if your will is lost in my will, then fact is you ask for anything, it's already done because I want to do it. John 15:4 goes on and says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It's going to produce something good. For without me, ye can do nothing. How much? Nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words, this book of the law, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Delight in him. You'll be able to get your prayers answered because you're answering the right, you're asking for the right things. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight in the Lord. Number three, commit thy way to the Lord. There's that same word we had before, and it is the same word. Commit thy way. Now, we committed our works and our thoughts were established. Now, how are you going to get that work done? Commit the way, verse 5 in our passage, commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit, again. All right, this is a great idea, Lord. I think this is what you want us to do. Now, how in the world am I going to do it? Well, give it to me. I'm the one that gave you the idea, right? I'm the one who's been leading you here. Let me lead you now through this. Now, I'll tell you, when I had my panic attack, I'll tell you what God was doing, and he let it happen. Be honest with you, I think he pinched the dog. I think he, I don't know what it was, he gave somebody down at the restaurant a bad day or something, whatever it was, I don't know, allow them to have a bad day, and so they just looked at me like I had three heads. I think he did that. God will give you, he will give you direction. He will lead you in what you're supposed to do. And you know it. And the very next thing he does is he pulls a rug out from underneath of you. He gives you a vision, and then the vision dies. Why? Because he wants you to take the vision and give it back to him. And then he brings it to pass. Because you see, if I'm successful, it's one of the worst things that could happen to me. We came in October of 03. The first day we were here, we had 28 people, including my family of six. By November, we were running in the 30s. Started in the 20s, running in the 30s. By December, we had 42, 43 people coming. Our Christmas program, we had 91 people in this auditorium. We were hitting the big time. In January, it kind of lulled a little bit because of some snow. But instead of running 40 like in December, by the time we got to February, we were in the 60s. So we kind of jumped from the 40s to the 60s. The 50s would have been in the middle there, right? Okay. When we got to March, we were running 75. It was a high day for the last 5 years. It was a high day. We baptized the first time in 5 years. And you know what? I would have been like Saul. When Samuel anointed Saul to be king, what did he do? He went and hid. He hid. I can't do this. God says, and he said, listen, I'll make you a new man. I'll put a new spirit in you. He did. So God let Saul be successful. You know what Saul did then? Whenever he was even successful, look what I did. He starts taking credit for what his son Jonathan did. I mean, he became a mess because he thought he did it. That's a bad thing. If we had had that same success without me going through my one-day panic attack, I might have thought Sterling Walsh did this. But Sterling Walsh has never done any of this. I've worked. I've done what I was supposed to do. Trust the Lord and do good. I don't know. What are you going to do? What's your vision? I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Got to get as many folks saved and grow in the Lord as we can. That's my vision. Now, we may do have this ministry or that ministry, but we're just going to do what he's called us to do and just stay at it. We commit it to him. Meantime, it says, trust also. Continue to trust and continue in that trust as he is our only refuge, and he shall bring it to pass. There's a promise. He brings it to pass. People will see. Watch this. You say, well, they're all afraid. I mean, all these people, they're getting away with this. He says, no. Watch. Look at verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. People will see what you really are, whether they admit it or not, whether they wanted to. But watch. People can see if you're living by faith as the just are to do or if you're not. How? If you're biting and scratching, conniving and scheming to get ahead and to get your way, you have not committed your way unto the Lord, and the world can see that too. I can't tell you how many people who have said to me, so what was your capital campaign for your building? I told them we're going to do it. We're going to build a program, every dollar is a vote. I said, if you give an extra 20 a week, which is about two lattes, we can probably come up with this much money in this amount of time. I mean, you didn't go out to the house and kind of, get kind of people kind of nailed down on what they're going to give and give them the promise. And most of the banks didn't even want to talk to us if we weren't going to do that. I said, I'm not doing that. We'll just wait. I'm not going to go there and say, well, this is how much you got to give. I mean, you make a pretty good bit, so you could probably, there's churches too. I'm not going to do that. That's not what Moses did. He said, come and give it of your own free will. He said, well, don't you know there's some people in your church didn't give anything toward a building program? Yeah. But I wasn't waiting for the people to pay for the building. God was going to pay for the building. We still got a lot of paying yet to do, by the way. Trust also in him and still trust in him. Once you've given, watch, once you've given the ways of your life over to God, I love this, rest in him and wait for him to make it work. Rest in him and wait for him to make it work. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. This is good. He says rest. Do you know what that word rest there means? To be dumb. Now hold on. It's the old way of using the word dumb. Silent. It says hold your tongue. Hold your peace, stop complaining, stop whining, stop saying God's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, stop trying to work around the edges and make this thing all go together. In fact, it means to allow yourself to be astonished. Shut up and let God surprise you. That's what it means to rest in Him. Just be quiet and let God surprise you. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You ready for this one? To wait patiently. We're resting in the Lord and waiting patiently. That word, waiting patiently, means to do, is this. Ready? To do a little dance. To do a little dance. To rejoice while you wait to see what God is going to do. This is the same thing. Let your request be made unto Him with thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made unto the Lord, and the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That word there, he says to wait on Him, wait patiently, means that kind of you're doing a little dance. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I don't know what He's going to do, but it's going to be good because God's good. He's always good. He promised to take care of me. Listen, I'm sorry for another personal illustration, but that's exactly what happened when I got laid off when I was in college. I was praying for more time to study. I got laid off, got more time. I had to travel an hour and 15 minutes over a toll road, work on a loading dock, and I was been a school teacher for 8 years. I was a softy. I'm always softy. But I was a softy. I didn't know how to work for a living. I knew how, but I didn't like it. And it was out, it was hot, and I didn't want to do it. But I said, what are you going to do? That's what I've got. That's what you do. So you complain about it, just do it. And one day I showed up there, and the recession had hit, and I noticed other guys were slowly disappearing from the crew, and finally, he said, we're done. Might as well go home. And that's it. I'd almost laughed in his face. I was not upset at all. Listen, God had called me up there. God had made the bill, if you will. So God's going to have to pay it. He promised to provide all my needs as long as they seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, I was going to Bible college, doing my best. My heart was poured out to Him. I put my family in His hands. So, far as I knew, not that I'm not being smug, I had nothing. I'd put my life in His hands. And He says, don't come back. I said, well, I don't have to work in a loan dock anymore. Now I don't know where I'm going to work from here, but I don't have to work in a loan dock anymore. Do a little dance. Listen, jump for joy, rejoice, because you don't know what He's going to do. When things are not going as you expected, do you get upset? Do you wonder if you should take the way back from God? Hang tight. Keep giving God all the time He wants to make it work. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now let me read it one more time. Put a little Walshonian commentary in here. Cease from anger. Ready? Chill out. Chill out. Don't go half-cocked, snorting around and complaining. Forsake wrath. That means getting hot with anger. That getting hot with anger is not going to help you get where you need to go. He says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't stop doing right and start off on a wrong path. Don't start that now. Watch. Why? For evildoers shall be cut off. Doing that, doing wrong, is not going to help you. And in fact, it's going to bring an end to the prosperity and the success you have had. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. This word wait means this, to bind yourself all the tighter. Tarry. Wait patiently. Well, Lord, it looks a little scary. Do what Peter did. Get a better glance at the Lord. Bind the tighter. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. I can't tell you how many people get scared and they run away from God instead of running to God. Bind tighter. Those are one that shall inherit the earth. It means you shall get all the good of this earth that God knows is good. He will not withhold any good thing. Jump down to verse 22. We're almost done. It's late, I know. 37:22. There's a lot of good stuff in between there, but for what we're doing here, let me jump down there. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. How am I supposed to know what to do? Commit your work in the Lord, and your thoughts are going to be established. Take that work, that thought that he's given you, that way that he tells you to go. Now take that way and give it to him and let him bring it to pass. Well, how's he going to do that? Step by step. The steps. Each step, but usually only a step at a time. We lose his attention between steps. Our attention starts to wander. Squirrel! We get off track, waiting for him for the next step. No, if it's not time for the next step, it's not time for the next step. Wait. He promised to direct you. What we need to do is trust in him and do good. Do what we're supposed to do, the book of the law. But he's not moving. He didn't die. Well, I feel like it's awful quiet up there. Well, maybe this is the time he's stretching your faith. Each step, the steps of a good man. This is interesting. A valiant man. A man who stands for truth. The steps of a person who stands for truth are ordered by the Lord. That word ordered is the same thing that says, thy thoughts shall be established. That's the exact same word translated here, ordered. Shall be made sure, shall be fixed in place. By who? The Lord. And he delighteth in his way. He has no problem giving into what the Lord has led him into. If your steps are not being ordered by the Lord, maybe you need to check and see if you're doing good. Maybe you're too busy doing a lot of other stuff. It may not be awful wicked stuff, but you're just busy doing a lot of other stuff than just saying, I'm going to live for the Lord. Maybe you need to pray with David, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Maybe God is ordering your steps, but you're not willing to follow his orders. He's given you the next step. He said, this doesn't make sense to me. I can almost guarantee you that you end up with just a couple choices. And a lot of times there's only one choice that does not go against the Word of God. And it's usually not the best looking choice. But if it's the only choice that's not, that doesn't compromise the Word of God, then that's your choice. If you have to make a choice, there's times when you come along and say, I've got to make a decision. I've got to have a job. We've got to make the bills. And anything I have, listen, I hired a guy one time. He was looking for a job. He couldn't find a job, and he had this and this and this, and then he was offered this job. It was a good, clean, honest living. He said, well, I'm not working there. I'm not. That's not enough money. We've got to do this. Well, if God's not giving you that, or that's not according to his word, then it's not an option. Get off your high horse and get a job. When I lost my job out there, it was several weeks. Any job I could find was $5 an hour, 15 hours a week, taking trash and putting it in a dumpster and pulling weeds around a plastics company that had just been sold. That's the honest goodness truth. Listen, I had a college degree. I had 8 years experience as a teacher, professional teacher. I was finishing up my second bachelor's degree. I shouldn't have to do that. Why, you too good? Huh? What are we, a Jonah? I shouldn't have to talk to those people. Well, that's what I told you to do. Well, I don't think it's right. It's beneath me. Well, then fine. Go hungry. We may mess up from time to time. I like this. But even then, if we are good, God will hold your hand through the mess. We've made, listen, that he'll guide us back out of the mess. Look at verse 24. Oh, and then we go back. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way, though he fall. Verse 24. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Well, I really messed up. Yeah, but it's not over. Yeah, but I look like a fool. I know, but it ain't over. You mean you really were trying to do? Well, I was. Verse 25, I've been young and now I'm old and I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. God's going to take care of you. And if, well, that's one. If you need to get right with God so he will order your steps, God is more than willing to do it. Look at verse 26. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Now look at this word, lendeth. Say, well, I don't know whether I like that word. He lendeth. Wait a minute. God has everything we need, and God is the ultimate rental center. Everything we have is on loan anyway. We only need it now, so he'll make sure we have it now. And if we don't need it anymore, he may give us to somebody else. But it doesn't matter because we don't need it. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and thou shalt be fed. He lends us. We only have to have it when we need to use it. Our Father has all the tools we need, and he's happy for us to use them when he sees we need them. And it says, and his seed is blessed. There are some people who don't serve the Lord because they think I'm going to have to sacrifice and it's going to cause my children to turn away from the Lord. I'll tell you what. Let your children watch the Lord provide for you as you trust in him and do good. And they'll say, I don't need all that. All I need is what I need right now. It's time to go. I got a good joke, but I'm not going to tell you. Let me finish up. Summary verse. Here's the summary verse. Look verse 27. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Stop doing wrong. Do good. Do what God tells you to do. And you got it. We're too worried about what we're going to get. He says, you'll get what you need. Just do good. Don't do wrong. God takes care of it. Your steps are going to be ordered. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. You know, we think we're doing God a big favor by not turning our lives over to God and doing it ourselves. But Jesus had to do, he said, I did only what that my Father tells me to do. He said, I can of mine own self, Jesus said, John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now that's Christ. Now, I think we ought to be smart enough to do the same thing. We can't do anything on our own because without him, he said, without me, you can do nothing. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, 2 Corinthians 13. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We want to, listen, we want the praise of figuring this out and accomplishing this task, conquering this obstacle ourselves, rather than share the praise with God. We're going to have to bear the embarrassment ourselves. All right, summary. Surrender, trust, do good, delight in him, commit. You want God to guide you and you want to know whether it is of God? Roll over on him, do good, wait for him to make it clear. Do a little dance and rejoice because he's going to do something great. We don't know what it's going to be. And don't move on until he makes it clear. But I waited and waited and finally I felt like I should move on. Yeah, God knew you were not really waiting on him, so he didn't really guide you. If you have, listen, if you have a forced time schedule and you have to make a decision, then give it to God, ask him to guide, and assume he has guided you and make the decision. As long as it doesn't go against the word of God. But do not set your own deadline and call it God's deadline. Do a little dance and celebrate with what God will do. We got to stop. We're so worried about trying to figure out what he wants. I'm sorry I'm so late tonight. But we're so worried about trying to get him to tell us what it is that we need to stop worrying about that and do right. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So our job is to do good. Do right. Book of the law, not departing out of our mouth. That's our job. And he guides the steps each way. Father, again, thank you for speaking to us. Lord, thank you for speaking to hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.